Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Missing Link for SLPs podcast. I'm Maddie, and you are listening to an episode in our podcast series, Oh, the Places You Will Go, an SLP Spotlight, where I get to interview speech pathologists who have interesting positions in our field, from the very basic to the most interesting spots, places, people they work with, and all of that in between. I get to have the fun of just chatting with these SLPs, finding out what they do, how they got their jobs, and any words of advice they have for other SLPs. So listen as we explore all the wonderful things an SLP can do. I am speaking today with Carolyn Brindo, who just said your last name sounds like window. We're getting some interesting last names, so it's excellent. So welcome, welcome. You have quite the title behind your name.
And thanks.
Can you tell us who you are and introduce yourself, please?
Sure. My name is Carolyn Brindo. I am the Director of Clinical Services and Education with MBS Envision. We do mobile, portable, modified barium swallow studies. So I am based in Ohio, but we also have offices in Detroit, Michigan, and Chicago, Illinois, and in Wisconsin as well. So here I am in Akron, Ohio.
How did you get started in the mobile video swallows?
Yeah, so actually I have always loved modified barium swallow studies. I had decided to be a speech pathologist when I was 16, and I thought I wanted to work in the schools. My mom's a teacher, so I thought that would be great. And then I did my student teaching in grad school, and I did not enjoy it at all. So I was kind of having this crisis, and I then was assigned to an LTAC for my medical placement. And the LTAC that I was assigned to had a huge vent trach population, and I loved it. And then one day we had a fellow who was on a vent, and he needed a swallow study. And my supervisor called in this company to do a modified barium swallow study. And they came in with the machine, and they set up in the rehab gym. And I remember looking at that speech pathologist and thinking, like, that's it. That's what I want to do one day. So I got hired by a hospital. I worked in the hospital for about 8 years. And then literally one day I called MBS Envision and I asked them if I could work for them. And they were looking for somebody to work a day a week. So I took that job. And then I've been with them for about 14 years now. So yeah.
What was it like transitioning? How many years did you have in the first setting where you were at? And then what was it like transitioning into the mobile video swallow? Yeah.
So I worked in a hospital for 8 years. And then I also worked, it was a small rural hospital, so they contracted us out. So ironically, they contracted me out to a school system, which was, you know, not what I wanted to do, but I stayed because I was doing their modified barium swallow studies in-house also. So, and then I did some PRN and weekend work at several other hospitals doing their modifieds for them because it's just been something that's always been a real area of interest for me. And then transitioning, the really difficult part, and this is something I still struggle with, is I do miss having these long-term relationships with patients. You know, I kind of swoop in, you know, assess their swallow, give them tons of information, talk to the facility therapist, and then I leave. And I don't always get the follow-up. I love working in long-term care. It's one of my favorite populations for sure. So even though I get to meet a lot of patients and residents of long-term care facilities, I don't get to have the relationship with them that I used to. But I do get that relationship with the speech pathologists at the facilities, and I do love that. Part of a difficult, kind of not a difficult transition, but kind of something that you don't think about until you have to do it. Mm-hmm. And then I would say the other thing is, you know, I don't have a radiologist with me, and I was used to having a radiologist looking over my shoulder. So that the first few months of doing it that way was really interesting for me. We have a radiologist that reviews our studies at the end of the day. So instead of having somebody right there, I kind of have to really think critically the whole time about anatomy and the physiology. And I don't have that secondary backup, I guess, right there online with me. So that was, you know, that was definitely a little bit different than the hospital setting I was used to.
How did you build your confidence in that setting without?
So I had been doing, like I said, I'd been doing swallow studies in a lot of different hospitals at that point. I had taken some great courses. I took Dr. Logeman's course. And then I ended up taking a course from Dr. Bonnie Martin Harris, the MBS, IMP, like they're one of the very first kind of introductory courses. Mm-hmm. And so just really doing my due diligence and doing a lot of education, making sure that I'm keeping up with my education and making sure that I am questioning things all the time. You know, I think it would be really easy to do these so often and just assume that, you know, that they're all the same, but that's not the case. And you really have to approach these really looking for really closely and intently at every study, every single time. And so I think that that was actually a good transition for me because it really, I feel like, focused my attention more. So
good words of wisdom for somebody who wants to be moving up. A lot of the listeners to this podcast are in grad school, or they're shifting into their clinical fellows, or they're wanting to shift from maybe a school setting into a medical setting. What words of wisdom do you have for them?
I think, like I said, going back to education, I mean, I've been in the field and practicing for over 20 years. And, this is the time where we have the most resources at our disposal. There are so many good forums. There's so many good groups out there that provide excellent education in dysphagia. There are so many leaders in our field that are doing such a good job of educating us, and we need to pay attention and listen. I think we forget sometimes in swallowing that it's a really young field. I teach courses sometimes and I tell the students that my job didn't exist when I was born. It's relatively new, so it makes sense that things are changing. So I don't think changing, you know, going from one setting to another is not a bad thing, because things are changing so much all the time that we all need to re-educate ourselves all the time, even if we've been practicing in medical speech pathology for 20 years. You know, I still learn things weekly. So it's not a bad thing to transition and to learn things new. We should be doing it anyway. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, just really educating yourself and finding out, you know, who the really big names are in our medical speech pathology field, and just always trying to learn better and do better. And I think the really important thing is to make sure that we're educating ourselves before we make that transition. You know, you don't want to, in medical speech pathology, you know, there's this kind of little phrase that goes around like fake it till you make it. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that we can do that in medical speech pathology. I think that we need to know what we're doing before we go in and actually are responsible for treating these patients, for sure.
I totally agree. And sometimes, I know when I do my chart reviews for my modifieds, I think, oh, this is going to be, you know, I can expect this. And then the patient comes in and they present differently.
Right.
And this is not what I was expecting. And right. In the field of medical speech pathology, things can turn on a dime.
Oh, absolutely.
And you can be all right until you're not all right. And then you're like, oh, you know, I like you. I have a lot of years in the field and I love being able to think through these critical cases.
Yeah.
Just love it. because I know my skill set and my confidence. I know what I can do. Not being overly confident. You never want to be overly confident as a therapist.
That is so important. That's so important.
Understand what you don't know. But being prepared by the time you go in.
Right. And I think, again, having the self-confidence to say, I don't know, or I'm not sure, but I will get back to you. I will find somebody, you know, looking for that mentor. I think that that is really important, because what we don't want to do, like we said, is you don't want to treat somebody just on your gut feeling if you're not sure. You need to find out. We need to make sure, because the decisions that we make in medical speech pathology can be life-altering for patients, whether it's, you know, quality of life or it's their medical course of care. It's just not something that we should be taking lightly. Mm-hmm. So being able to say we don't know and finding out before we proceed is critical. That's for all of us, not just people that are new to the field.
Right. That's one of the defining things that I see between clinicians who do have more years of experience and the younger ones. The younger ones are like, oh, I know everything. And they do fake it till they make it. So it's nice to be encouraged to really look and be honest with ourselves and with those we work with.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I interview speech pathologists for positions here, and it's part of my job, and I train them. And one thing I always say is like, what's a really good CEU course that you've taken in dysphagia lately? And, you know, because that's what I want to know is I want to know that they're still looking for things to learn, that they're still keeping up. And so if a speech pathologist tells me, I feel pretty confident in my dysphagia skills. I haven't really taken anything lately. I'm taking more classes in aphasia or apraxia. Then I get a little concerned, because I really like to hear people that are always wanting to learn more and always think they can learn more and always think they can do better. I think that's really important.
So let's follow that along that line a little bit. We haven't had a guest on here who does interview other speech pathologists. So you just gave us one of the questions of, you know, tell us about a recent course. What else do you look for in speech pathologists that you interview?
So again, the most important thing I look for is that wanting to do more, wanting to look to educate themselves more, that is questioning everything, because I know that's somebody that's going to be a critical thinker. And that's what I need in particular. That's what we need as a company in particular. We need those really critical thinkers. The other thing that I will ask them sometimes is to tell me about why they're interested in swallowing and modified barium swallow studies. I love to hear people that love them as much as I do. So I really like to hear enthusiasm. I don't want to hear that somebody, and this seems a little, I guess, contradictory, but I don't want somebody to tell me that they're interested in them because they think they're really good at them. I'd rather hear somebody that tells me they're interested in them because they find them interesting. They want to learn more. They want to do more with. So that's one thing that I ask. The other thing, and for me, what I do during interviews is I actually have them watch some studies, and it doesn't have to be a perfect read, but I want to know that they're noticing things. I want to know that they're paying attention to details. And then in general, I look for somebody who is organized, who's on time, these are all just kind of the basic things that you'll find on, you know, LinkedIn, but organized and on time and, has a varied skill set too. That's always interesting to me when somebody has some different experiences with regard to head and neck cancer, vent and trach population. So looking for that. And again, and same thing in their education and the CEU courses that they take in. A lot of different things, not just stroke population. I want to know that they're looking at other things like Parkinson's and ALS too.
What are some things that an interviewee should not do?
Ooh, that's a really interesting question. I've looked at a ton of resumes over the last 2 weeks too. Let me think about this for a second. I think when, in general, and again, this is kind of a general answer, but if they come across as a little too overconfident, or if they are, if they interrupt me, or haven't done their research on the company. Also, I love to hear when people say, oh, I was on your website last night. You know, if somebody comes into an interview and they have no idea that we, like, for example, that we actually go into buildings. I've had that happen, you know, which tells me that they didn't do their research at all. You know, that they think, you know, most mobile modified barium swallow studies, it's a van that people come out of the building and get on the van. So if I'm interviewing somebody, I expect that they're going to know a little bit, you know, about what we do, and they've done their homework a little bit. I really, you know, that's rough for me, I guess, a little bit. And obviously not if they're late or if they don't show up or their communication isn't pretty prompt, you know, that can be something I think about as well.
What do you look for in their resumes?
I look for the, again, I know this is like the dead horse, but I look for education. I look for the courses that they've taken. Obviously, we are always looking for somebody that has experience with modified barium swallow studies, because this is just a hard position to have never had that experience before. But if they've taken a course like the MBS IMP, that's a great flag for me. Again, if they've taken, and nothing, you know, nothing against free courses. There are some, especially right now, there are some excellent free courses out there. But if they haven't taken the time to do anything other than, you know, the free courses, that tells me that, you know, that it's more about just getting that number of CEUs rather than getting the quality CEUs. Mm-hmm. So looking at the courses they've attended. And then obviously, like I said, a wide range of experience is something I look for on resumes. And if they're newer, you know, looking to see that, gosh, they don't even have to get these CEU courses, and they've still, you know, taken the online MBS IMP introductory course, or taken, you know, they belong to the Medical SLP Collective, or they belong to Dr. Humbert's, her group. You know, these are the things that tell me that even though they don't have a ton of experience, that this is definitely a big area and of interest for them. And again, that interest is what I'm always looking for.
Good to know. Boy, this interview's taken on a wonderful little,
little side
job. People are really going to perk up and say, oh, look at that. We're talking. Oh, this is great. Any last words about interviewing or the new speech pathologist coming on and sitting across the table from you?
Yeah, I mean, I do get a lot of questions from speech pathologists, not necessarily that are interviewing, but just how do I get medical and modified barium swallow study experience in general? Like, how do I do that? And one, like I said, I said, take all the courses, these really good courses that you can. And then also looking for hospitals that are hiring PRN and trying to get weekend experience. If they're not hiring for weekend experience, getting in and volunteering or doing observation hours can be a really great way to get some experience. Obviously, it's really difficult right now, but hopefully post-COVID world, we can get back to things like that again. But I'm looking to see that they have done everything that they can do to get that experience, whether it's through volunteering, you know, PRN, getting the education ahead of time, finding a mentor, you know, really just not being afraid to reach out and ask for help getting that experience.
Good words of wisdom. Good words of wisdom. Tell us again about your company.
Yeah, so as I said, we're portable. So we have a team that we have a speech pathologist obviously a physician and a driver who's also the technician. So we meet in the office in the morning. We load a van with our x-ray machine and a cart with all of our supplies. And then we follow a schedule and we travel around to different nursing homes, skilled nursing facilities, long-term care, LTACs, some hospitals, some home health patients. And then we get to the facility, we unload, the whole team goes into the facility. The technician sets up the machine and everything we need to do the test. The speech pathologist and the physician work together to do like a chart review, talk to the facility speech pathologist and the facility staff about the patient, find out their kind of their history. And then our physician is there. They do an H&P, like a health and physical exam, to make sure that the patient is stable enough for the test. And then they also give us really good information about lung sounds, the ability of the patient to follow commands or participate. And then we set them up and we do the test. We follow a protocol that's actually pretty close to the MBS IMP. The nice thing is that we can set up in the patient's room sometimes, in the therapy gym if it's private, in a private dining room, the beauty parlor, we get that a lot. But that way, because we bring all of our, you know, our protective shields with us and everything, staff can come in and watch. The patient's family can be there if needed. So it's really nice for the patient because they don't have to go out to a hospital. It's nice for the facility, the treating speech pathologist, because they can be there during the test and we can provide that education right there to them in person, which is nice. So we do the test, and then when we're done, we write a report. We provide all the education to the patient, family, staff, treating SLP, and then we pack everything up and we go on to the next stop. So, like I said, I don't get a lot of opportunity to have that relationship with the patients, but a lot of our facility SLPs have been using us for a long time. So we do get to develop that really good relationship with them. And then a lot of times they are new speech pathologists. And so we're able to, and they're all alone. They might be the only speech pathologist in the building. So we're able to kind of be there for them to bounce ideas off of. They all have our phone numbers and my email. So I get emails and calls sometimes like, hey, I have this patient, you know, I'm not sure what to do. What do you think? And, you know, we really encourage them to do that. So that's kind of another, you know, service that we provide for them too. So like I said, it can be really nice for the patient because they're in a familiar environment. It can be nice for the family too, to see what's going on with their, you know, with their mom or dad. And then it can be really nice for the facility therapist too, to have nursing staff, because, you know, sometimes a picture is worth 1,000 words, you know, or more, you know, in terms of swallowing. So, you know, it kind of helps provide that visual education that we know they all need sometimes.
And if you're anything like me, I'm like, come look, come see, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And that happens, right?
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exciting.
So, yeah. So that's basically it. Like I said, we have actually two offices here in Ohio. We have an office in Detroit, one in Chicago, and then we have an office up in Wisconsin. We're just about to move into Pittsburgh. So that will start pretty soon here. So it is. It's a great company. Like I said, I've been with them for a long time and I'll probably stay with them forever.
lots of moving forward. Final question. Any words of wisdom for the new speech pathologist in general?
Again, I think just always asking questions, always thinking critically. I mean, this field is so new compared to, you know, being a physician or being a nurse. Like, they've been around forever. But medical speech pathology is really, you know, relatively new. I use the term Wild West sometimes because that's almost what we're like. We're almost like in the the wild west of the medical field. Like things are just, you know, it's kind of a little bit of a free for all. So don't be, you know, intimidated and think that you have to know everything right now. There's so much to learn and it's changing all the time. So I think that's the really important thing is always asking questions, always thinking critically. You know, there's no real black or white answer to anything in this field. You know, with maybe a very few exceptions, you definitely need an instrumental to assess swallowing. I feel like that's a little bit black and white right now. But, you know, things are changing all the time. We're learning new things about this field and new techniques, new strategies, new ways of assessing. So just always, you know, questioning and always getting that education.
Well, thank you for your time today.
No problem. Thank you so much for having me. I enjoyed it.
Today's conversation has created some aha moments for you and motivated you to become a better SLP, continuing to connect some of those missing links between what you know and how to use that knowledge. Thank you for downloading the Missing Link for SLPs podcast. And if you enjoyed the show, I'd love you to subscribe, rate it, and leave a short review. Also, please share an episode with a friend. Together, we can raise awareness and help more SLPs find and connect those missing links and get the information needed to help them feel confident in their patient care every step of the way. Follow me on Instagram and join the Fresh SLP community on Facebook. Show notes are always available, so come learn more at freshslp.com. Let's make those connections. You got this.